This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Politics.
Eita, welcome to another edition of Hashtag Politics with Botsang Modimo Ame Moilwa. We are a gathering of Botswana of national unity, looking at things all politics and the like, and all stuff like that.
Yes, Mr. GNU, thank you very much. This is a real gathering, but you know, I must start the show. Let me say morning to the viewers, the
yes,
crew,
sir. Yes, sir.
And the followers. It's so funny that as I was preparing for the show this week, I got a message from one of the followers and the viewers saying, who gets your attire together these days lately, or has Tato gotten you a stylist? And like, what makes you think it's Tato behind my change of style? And she says, well, you have been coordinating very well. So does it mean I was dressing up nonsense in the past?
No, not that it was nonsense, but you know, when you're a comrade.
Yeah.
There's the pre-94 comrade and the post-94 comrade. So you were giving pre-94 comrade vibes.
Jesus.
The way you dressed and the way your hair was revolutionary.
Hey, I'm growing my hair again now.
So it seems like we have you back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but remember I said a couple of weeks ago that Kuruna Bafana ba GQ.
Yeah, ba GQ.
And I think it, a guy must make a bit of an effort.
Yes, fresh. And also, it feels good. I'm in a chance. I'm a winter boy. I love winter.
Yes, sir.
But it has been feeling good. I'm more relaxed.
Mm.
And like I said, I'm trying my suits in preparation to go to work. But one or two things before we go in. People are very observant. The followers have been very good.
This week I read
and I wanted to respond to all the comments, very positive and nice comments. I like their participation. They moaned and complained, why don't we have a similar mugs for our coffee?
Okay, so from next week we will have WOW mugs on set.
Yeah, and then, the other ones, but I said, look, Fresh doesn't have time. We sometimes want to hear Fresh to comment on the comment list or to respond to some of the things.
No, we can do that.
Yeah.
That we can do. Whatever you guys want, we will make happen. But you have one job. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to press on that bell thing there. And don't forget to copy the link and share with other people out there.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We finally have a cabinet.
Yes, Parliament. What can I say? I don't know. Look, I've got mixed feelings due to a mixed cabinet. Finally, last week, Sunday, at night, I think Ntate Ramaphosa is learning very well that this thing
from JZ.
From JZ.
Wait for a public holiday or a Friday evening?
Yeah, very late at night, and then say 9 o'clock and you announce at 10:30.
Mm.
A few surprises for me. Some were expected.
Okay.
And I'm glad that the political parties in there, they had also received, they are happy they've received seats.
Mm.
There's few surprises. Look, let me start with, for me, the most important one, the land question.
Mm.
There's never been an opportunity for the Pan-Africanist Congress, even if I've called them out to say they've capitulated to go into this, to go and lead the land reform department. There's no political party in South Africa that has tabled the land policy more than the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. And there's an opportunity for Nyonso and the PAC to prove themselves.
In fact, remember when we discussed this 2 weeks ago, that the PAC, and I was asking you this because you're a Pan-Africanist,
yes,
that the PAC have decided that, okay, we're going to be a part of the GNU.
Yes, yes.
But they've made it clear that, one, we might be bringing one seat to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But we're bringing years of experience, the land issue, and our passion about land.
Yes. And also, if you look at, various political parties, the EFF, the Black First Land First, the Controversies Party, they have copied the PAC policy on land. And it is unquestionably a just policy.
Sure.
And look, you don't operate in isolation when you're in the cabinet. One cabinet minister, they still have to go and put their policies up front and table them to the cabinet and to parliament to be adopted. But this is an opportunity to influence. What ministers can do, they can influence policy.
Sure.
Then we move to our friend, brother, excited, Gaiting McKenzie.
Firstly, as someone who's within the arts, I think of all the ministers that have led or headed that ministry, I probably think he'll probably have more energy and passion than any of the others.
I think so, and especially the energy.
And I appreciate that about Gayton, that Gayton is a get stuff done now kind of guy. You can hate him for whatever reason. You can decide that way, and because he's an ex-con, you can't trust him. Whatever your reasons are for not liking Gayton, what I love about Gayton is he walks his talk.
He's a doer.
He gets things done. And, you know, I'm already seeing people saying because Gayton says he's not going to take a salary, he's going to instead donate his salary.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, but maybe he's going to eat somewhere else. You know, Gayton doesn't need our money.
No, you know, Fresh, I mean, a number of political discussion groups and, you know, a lot. And I always tell people, the media has painted Gayton as a con, you know, former con, jailbait, robber, and what. I said, but you must go and read. This man has, at some stage, he was the highest paid
public speaker.
Public speaker in Africa, in the continent.
Yeah.
At some stage, Gayton book, the first one, was the bestseller, one of the bestsellers in the world. And I've attended a number of seminars with him, and I've listened to him, his life story. I think people don't know what we have as a nation in Gayton.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I have said before, I wish he got the police. He's a former con person. He's a former criminal. He has been rehabilitated. He's doing good. What he learned when he was in prison, he's doing good for the country. He has developed hundreds, if not thousands of youth, you know, because of his background. But also, you know, I don't understand South Africans when they forgive other people and they can't forgive others. They want to say Gayton was in prison. Almost all political prisoners, they were in prison, yes, for the right reasons, for fighting for the liberation and so on. But we do have people with questionable backgrounds.
Sure.
You understand? I look at the DA Minister of Home Affairs. We found that the minister, our Minister of Home Affairs is actually naturalized in South Africa. He was born Zimbabwean, and nobody's saying anything about it. But I also expect Gayton to deliver. Knowing him, having have you know, working alongside with him, I expect him to deliver. And again, as you said, for the passion he has for doing things, for the drive he has, and the guy, if people don't know, the guy does not need our money. Gayton has his own money. He's the one person, and we've studied before, he funded his political party from his pocket. And you know, without glowing or boasting or what, let me tell you, Gayton, actually it was a public speech from Andy Mkutama. When the BLF was formed and they didn't have money to register the BLF to contest 2019 elections, get who funded the BLF? It was Gayton McKenzie. You understand? So his goodwill, his willingness to help and for the benefit of the people, art is going to benefit from Gayton. Sport is going to benefit. Well, except that he wants to introduce spinning and he didn't say anything about off-roading. And I said he must introduce off-roading as well.
I laughed when I saw that video that they'll be spinning. Because a colored friend of mine is like, okay, there he goes, perpetuating our stereotypes.
No, but I'm happy. And you know, he said he wanted the police boots. And he said, look, gents, I'm putting soccer boots, rugby boots, cricket boots. And yeah, those are one. But there's also surprises, you know, Groenewald. Jeebus. I actually wish they could have given Groenewald the agriculture part.
Oh, yes.
He's serving a farming background instead of Steenhuisen.
Like generations of farming.
Yes, but I also heard some, you know, commentators saying how it's good that a white Afrikaner, Boere in inverted commas, got agriculture because they can teach black people how to farm. What nonsense is that? As if blacks can't farm. As if when before colonialism, you know, Africans could not farm and feed themselves. But I feel sorry for prisoners. The man is not the nicest person on earth. I feel sorry for prisoners. And then who else was a little of a surprise? Let me just apply my mind. Then you look at the composition with the DA, and I think there was a compromise. You remember last week I said, in my bad mathematics, the DA qualifies for 6 to 8.
Yes.
Depending on the
argument. If it went according to proportionality.
Into proportionality.
Yeah.
And actually, after they were out and looking at the number, they could have got 7.
Mm.
But you also look at the benefit they received in deputy ministers.
Oh, yes.
There's quite a lot. I think that's why they are happy. And there's some few retainments. I was very surprised that Aaron Motsoaledi had to move back. And again, I don't know how do politicians take this thing. That's why I'll never be a politician in a career. Dr. Patla was deputizing before. He was promoted to become a minister.
Sure.
And I think he has done, fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they return Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, and they're both medical doctors. They're in the right field. And to become a minister, and now the one is demoted to be a deputy minister. I know they are supposed to be adults. I know it's the prerogative of the president.
They're supposed to be professional about it.
Yes, they're supposed
to be. Where I'm deployed is where I will go.
Exactly.
But at an ego level, surely it does something.
It does. I mean, these are human beings. Mm-hmm. There's few retainments. Mamoloko Kubai,
your good friend.
My good friend. And she's very happy. I suspected she was going to. She wanted it. Mm. But look, I also know that she has a lot of projects that she was busy with regarding, and it's for continuity.
And very dope projects.
Very, very ones. Yeah, very, very dope projects. Mm. And there's a few casualties. Lindiwe Zulu is out. But there's very few of them. So I think the cabinet on its own, it's well balanced. I'm happy with Ntate Thabisa at COCTA.
I think
it suits him very well. You know, you also look at the stature of the people. You look at how people conduct themselves.
Mm.
Bringing back Major General Bantu Holomisa into the... I'm very happy, although not happy that he's a deputy. Mm. But let me tell you what is the strategy there. I don't know why is Angie Motshekga in there. She.
I was going to say, why is she at defense?
I don't know. Fresh. She imploded education. Education, basic education in South Africa imploded under Angie. Now you are going to give him bombs, you know, to go and manage bombs and missiles for the country, explode the country and start bombing. So I don't know. But that I think that was a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Military is a very different, you know, environment, completely different environment. But with the backing he has, of Bantu Holomisa and the other, I think they will have. And somebody asked me why two deputy ministers at defense. It is because of, remember, they merged the military veterans in the normal defense.
Yes.
I think General Holomisa is going to focus on the military itself, and the other person will focus on military veterans. And Lamola at international relations. Mm. Actually, Cyril caught me off guard.
Because I thought they would bring in Mama Naledi Pandor because I think she's been kicking butt in that ministry.
She has been doing well, and she never announced retirement like others did. I was surprised she's left out. And also for Lamola to go to that portfolio, that caught me as a surprise. We'll see how it goes. But Jericho,
I was going to say, though, do you think Lamola will do a good job at...
Look, he has two deputy ministers and seasoned ones. One, but also I think his exposure, the last trimester of the previous administration, he was involved in a number of, especially with the Palestinian, the ICJ, ICC.
Yes.
That may have given him an exposure and how things operate. He went very close
and
to
Mama Naledi Pandor. And he was shining.
He was shining. He's been exposed to that. He's young. He will make it. He must just call me back to the diplomatic corps. I'll go back running. And finally, my own ministry.
Mm.
Surprise. Mm. I'm happy.
So that's transport, obviously.
That's transport, yes. I'm happy. I like, remember, actually, coincidentally, exactly a month ago, on the Saturday of the elections, we spoke about the characters of politicians. Mm. And I said, funny enough, Hlengwa, the Deputy Minister of Transport, now the IFP leader, is my favorite politician in South Africa.
Mm.
And I said, at first I thought he was a UDM person years back, but the way he conducts himself, the way he ran with Skopa after filling the big shoes of Godi, I think it's a good placement. But also towards the end of the last administration, he was working very closely, monitoring, while he was at Skopa, monitoring the entities of transport. Mm. At some stage, he actually walked into RAF, road President Fund offices to check the challenges. Very seasoned politician and very disciplined person. I think it's a very good appointment. And Barbara Creecy's background speaks for itself from being the MEC of finance in Joburg for a very long time. I think two terms. It speaks itself. So it's a fairly balanced cabinet. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if they will hold on to each other.
I was going to say the big question then is this a cabinet in the best interest of South Africa?
Fresh, looking at it from a political angle and the challenges that there was no outright winner.
Sure.
I think this is the best they could do. I think it's balanced. I also think that President Ramaphosa did very well not to, bend too much to the demands of the Democratic Alliance because they were unreasonable. But I also think the Democratic Alliance accepted this because one has to think, if you talk of government of national unity, you speak of all other players being accommodated. So accommodating the PAC, I did expect Patricia de Lille, Mam Patricia, to go back to tourism. And I think public works was too hectic for her, and her age. So the PAC has a seat, Patrick Alliance has a seat, IFP has one or two, and everybody. So it looks like everybody has come to the party. They will get the slice of cake, although it is not in the proportion as the DA would have wanted. But I think that was the best they could do so far.
Like I said to you 2 weeks ago, when the idea of a GNU was being bandied around, I spoke about the fact that either it's going to blow up in everyone's faces, or this is going to be the best 5 years South Africa has ever experienced.
Yeah.
Given that now you're bringing different people with different strengths.
Exactly.
To say, how do we take this ship on its next trajectory without sinking the damn thing?
Yeah.
So I'm actually very positive about the new cabinet.
Yeah, I am positive. I'm positive about the incumbents and the work they will do because they will want to prove themselves.
Absolutely.
They will want to say, we have been given opportunity. I'm just worried about the stability. And I'm also happy, Fresh. To be honest, I am happy that the EFF and Umkhonto-West, being a leftist myself, I'm being personal, but I'm happy that the EFF and Umkhonto-West is a party. Even the moderates like ACDP are staying in the opposition benches. We need that.
Sure.
The opposition will have a voice of plus minus 30%. And imagine if they table a motion in parliament which resonate with either the DA or the ANC with their numbers. It will be, so we are going to be observing
that will be the test.
That will be the test, yes. To say, are these people going to implement their policies, or are they going to go there with personality egos, or they are just going to sit there and do nothing without any change, because the country does need change.
Sure. But now it seems like the blueprint for this new GNU is not necessarily translating when it comes to government in Gauteng province.
Yes.
I mean, twice now, Premier Panyaza Lesufi has not been able to announce his cabinet because the DA are saying, you guys are not coming to the party.
Yeah.
But the ANC are saying, but the DA are being arrogant in making demands. The DA are saying, guys, we almost got the same amount of votes in Gauteng.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you guys acting like you're Mr. Party?
Yes. Well, the DA must not forget that the Premier, just like the President, has the prerogative. But
sure.
First, this is the problem with a compromised, a settlement. That what do you throw out the window? Are you throwing the powers you have that were given to you by the Constitution, and you now pull in the agreement or the statement of intent that you have? So I think Mr. Lesufi and the Gauteng ANC were trying to say, no, we will go by the book, we will go by the party policy, and also by the votes of Gauteng.
You see,
in everything that is happening in Gauteng, I think the DA and the ANC are forgetting that we, the residents of Gauteng, have spoken, and they can only act according to our votes. If they were fair, and this is where the DA is playing a fair game to say, give seats proportionally. But the problem with the DA is now then refusing the premier to also do what the president has done nationally. Mm. Because if they have agreed to what the president has done nationally, why would they refuse that Panyaza Lusufi should do the same in Gauteng? Mm. Give opportunities to MK who are willing to come to the party in Gauteng, to the ANC, the EFF, and then Inkatha and the DASS, the primary signatories of that. So I think it's the challenge they are faced with. I also think the ANC in Gauteng, part of the problem, Tato, is, remember, Panyaza Lusufi came into power in Gauteng, in the ANC, against the wills of the heavyweights of the ANC in Gauteng. Mm. The crew of Leboga Maile and others, they were against Panyaza Lusufi. So he came in to lead the ANC in Gauteng. But so he is having a leadership of the ANC in Gauteng that was actually against him. When he goes, that's the first problem. It's sure. The internal fighting of the ANC that is giving a problem. If you look at the clumsy situation that happened during, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, when he was supposed to, despite the challenges with the DA, despite those challenges, the whole ANC leadership, Tasmin, Maile, and your friend, Nisa, he still owes us to come back, and because he said he'll come back after election to come and talk how he lost. They actually took over the press conference of the premier, their leader. That demonstrated, if people were not aware, it demonstrated to me the divisions in the ANC, the factions.
Sure.
It also demonstrated that who is actually in power in the ANC. Mm. People were saying Leboga Maile was arrogant. But look, I can equally say Helen Zille, as well as the DA leader in Gauteng, Simanga, are equally arrogant. These are negotiations time. This is a battlefield. Everybody pushes for their own political agenda. And it will obviously create, tension and all that. You don't go to a battlefield with smiles and poop sticks and feather dusters. And I saw that with, Tasmin hardly talk, the ANC. I think she's treasurer for Gauteng. She hardly talks. She's hardly on the media. But for her to come out, for TK Ngiza to come out and Maile to team up and say, we are going to defend our organization. We want to work with everybody equally to form a government of provincial unity. And if DA is not comfortable with it, let them walk. And I don't think they will walk. I've said last week, the ANC is incapable of functioning or running the country without a democratic alliance. They can't, especially at the moment. They will have to take them into consideration, or else the DA will collapse everything else that they have.
I was going to say, if we've agreed in terms of the larger deal that we're going to cooperate like this,
yes,
it shouldn't be difficult for it to trickle down to provincial level.
Well, fresh, it is.
It shouldn't be rocket science.
No, I'll tell you why is it difficult. It is difficult because nationally, the ANC has doubled the votes of DA.
But in Gauteng, it's almost the same.
In Gauteng, it's almost the same. You understand? That's one. And also in Gauteng, there are other players that also had, good margins and percentage. And also the numbers. We only have 11 provincial cabinet legislators. It's only 11. But I also think if it is true that what Helen Zille said, that Panyaza Lusufi wanted to put, how many, 8? No, he wanted to take 7 and give them 4. And
Because surely, based on the votes,
yeah,
the ANC should be saying having 4, the DA 3.
Yes.
And then the others we can see how we divvy it out.
Yeah. Like I said, if they were caring about our votes,
sure,
that's what they should be doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, they should. ANC must take its 4, DA must take its 3, and then the rest they must filter down to other political parties. And it's so funny that in Gauteng, Umkhonto weSizwe party is prepared to come to the table, and the EFF. And I didn't hear them saying, we don't want the DA.
Sure.
Because here there's no signing of intent. Mm. It's just basically electing the cabinet. My fear is if they don't agree and resolve this, which I think, you know, by the time this goes on air, it will be resolved. I think my fear it may collapse the government. We may have the problems of Johannesburg.
Mm.
We may see them in the province of Gauteng if they don't handle this properly. Mm. And I think, but I feel sorry for Hendrik Panyaza Lusufi. He's caught up between his comrades, his principles, his personality, as well as the opposition party.
Mm. Mm.
Again, in politics, if Panyaza must learn one thing, you do not go and satisfy everybody.
Mm.
And unfortunately, politics don't work like that. Mm. You must choose sides. Mm. You can't be
have a position.
A threat setter and sitting there. Have a position.
Mm.
You can't make everybody happy. Be decisive. Whoever is not happy, you move on.
Mm. Mm. In fact, because I was going to ask you of, you know, what of proportionality, intent, consensus, consultation.
Those are some of the things that have created problems for us. Look, the proportionality is what the DA has been putting forward.
Sure.
To say, let us be given seat or representation according to the proportion. In other words, if you have received 20% of the electoral votes, your representation in government must be 20%. Look.
Which sounds fair.
For me, it is fair.
Mm.
If we want peace, stability, growth, and movement, that's fair. And there I would like to agree with the DA. It's supposed to be like that. Because, Fresh, I've said earlier on, the president or the premier or whoever has to choose between what the constitution provides and the current situation. The situation at hand, it's not conducive to what the constitution has makes provision for. So you have to take situation as is. That's what the proportion is. But then there's consultations. And again, you know, this thing of consultations makes me laugh. People think consultations, it will go back to your second point, means people must agree. No. It doesn't mean that you must agree. And I always tell people in labor, I participate a lot in labor disputes and labor engagement.
Mm.
You can stand up and say, I've consulted.
Because
we disagreed.
I told you.
Mm. And we disagreed. And therefore, I'm implementing.
Yes.
You did consult.
Mm.
But the DA is very smart to move away from consultations, because that's how President Ramaphosa, you know, operates.
Mm.
If you look at his style, he will say, I consulted, I spoke to the SACP, I spoke to the DA, and I'm implementing.
Mm.
Consultation does not mean people should agree.
Sure.
It means you have engaged them.
You're aware.
You're aware, or I made you aware, and then we move on. Then there is, what was the last one?
There's intent.
The intent.
Mm.
Again, these people signed a letter of intent or whatever, memorandum of intent. Again, guys, we go back to English. And this is what people have been asking. What is this intent? I intend to behave in a certain manner or to do things in a certain manner.
Mm.
But that does not mean I cannot change my intentions along the lines.
Yes.
And that causes instability, you know, because it's just an intention. We are intending to work in a government of provincial unity or national unity. However, along the lines, when I realize that it does not serve my purpose or the purpose of the constituency that I represent, I may withdraw my intention because I'm guided by the principle of the political party.
Mm.
But in politics, one thing that this our politicians at the moment must learn. And I think the School of Government and the Public Service Commission must introduce that. I actually have approached the School of Government to can go and give lectures to some of these new politicians from a public administration perspective, not as a politician.
Mm.
They must leave their jackets out. Your political party position is very important.
Mm.
It's very important that you must go and, like Gaten and the PHC will say, we are going to do what our members and followers and voters have said we must go and do. But you don't do it in your office.
Mm.
It doesn't work like that. You must have policies tabled or proposals tabled in parliament, a full sitting of parliament, to can pass that motion, make it a bill, make it an act, and then it's implemented.
Mm.
You cannot, as a minister or an MEC or a premier, even an MMC or a mayor, you cannot go and take a policy of the PAC or the ANC and what, and walk into your office with it and try to implement it. It doesn't work like that because the administrators and the public officials who are there, they implement government policies, not those of political parties. I listened to Tony Leon of the DA saying it's now or never. The DA is in government now, and all these deployees, these ministers, must go and implement policies of the DA. That is against the spirit of government of national unity.
Absolutely.
It is also against the public service policies. You don't implement policies of a political party. And that's what they've tried to do in the Western Cape, you understand? Imagine if the ANC decides to say they are going to implement the policy of the ANC, we'll have chaos in the country because some of those policies are not sound. And for Tony Leon, as a seasoned politician, an old person, a former diplomat, and you can stand up and make that kind of noise, I think the DA and its leaders, they must be very careful of Tony Leon as well as Helen Zille, because they have come out to demonstrate their white supremacism. They have come out to want to use this opportunity where Steenhuisen has driven the DA to arrive at a point where they are talking reconciliation, they are rebranding not only the logos and all that, but they are rebranding the DA to be more acceptable, to work more towards the advancement of the country. They will destabilize the DA. They will mess it up because now what they want to do is to come in and enforce things that they failed to implement during their term. They want to rule from the grave, if I may put it that way. And it will mess up the DA. It will derail them. I think they've come far, and it has demonstrated during the past elections that actually the DA, just like the EFF, have reached its ceiling. And with this kind of rhetoric statements, you know, reckless rhetoric statements that they continue doing, like other people doing the ANC, they will be punished in the next elections. I mean, we are only 26 months away from local government elections, and smart political parties are starting to work the ground towards the local government elections.
Because also the very people that might have boycotted the elections for whatever reason this year, they're still there with their vote.
Yes.
They can come back and flip this thing.
6 million of them.
They can flip this thing like this.
They can do that. And look, we saw it in the last local government elections, how people came out with local government and said, this is close to our heart.
Yeah.
Let's go and flip this thing. So being excited now and not having a vision for the future, I don't think it's a wise thing for political parties to behave like, especially the DA and the ANC. They must have learned in this election that their arrogance, their egos, to, you know, what is delaying Gauteng Fresh, in my view, it's egos.
Sure.
It's personality cults that I'm not going to be led. I hear how they even call each other. I hear one DA leader saying, Panyaza needs to be what he said. They want to make him shine, you know, as if he has not done anything good at all. And I'm very impressed with the way Lusuf is responding to all this with silence. He's not defending. He's not running to Twitter like he will normally do. He's focusing on building a government and running the province. And I think next time you must get him and TK. TK must come and answer how they lost in these elections. He owes us this.
No, yeah, remember, he was very confident that, don't worry, we've got this, more than 50%.
Yeah, and you said to him, if you don't get it, you must come back and talk, so we must re-invite him.
TK, you've got my number. Let's arrange for that part two.
Yeah.
So what's happening with a 200 Rand electricity levy, and how is that a part of the bigger political picture?
First of all, you know, when you, earlier on you spoke about consultations and consensus, there's something in South Africa that actually makes people lose focus on how politics influence them. One of the things we are supposed to do as a nation, it's before there's a tariff increase on electricity, and I use electricity as just one example.
Sure.
There's supposed to be public consultations. Again, we are back at that with consultations. NERSA must run consultations. They must come to you, the community, to say we are going to increase electricity tariffs. And these things happen behind the scenes, or people don't know about them. Imagine my mom, who is above 70, sitting there and being consulted to say, we are going to increase electricity tariffs. The first way that's going to come to my mom's head is, no, you are not doing that. Or any other person for that matter. And although pensioners I forgot, there's a term they use, exclusion, ecstatic people or something like that, like pensioners, disabled people. There's a group term that is being used to refer to them. This is why Ms. Kuvert, she could have already put the word there that I'm looking for. Anyway, what is happening is, and I'm concerned, and I brought this up, you know, because I'm partially a resident of Joburg. On Monday, the 1st of July, and I don't know if residents of Joburg are aware, the city power, because distributors of electricity in South Africa are different, and this is where it becomes political. In Joburg, for example, there's city power, there's Eskom, there are those who pay Eskom directly. Then there are third parties, those that are running the meters, wherever they get electricity from, and they charge, especially in estates, complexes. And everybody's charging a different price. Now, you ask yourself as a consumer, fresh, why would the government supply electricity at a different price? You know, even let's leave the private ones, meter readers. Let's focus on city power. It's a government entity. Eskom is a government entity. And they are selling electricity to the residents of Johannesburg differently. I'm using the word Johannesburg. I'll tell you something funny that happened this week. Differently. Now, city power has introduced a levy to those in Joburg who that there's a levy of 200 rands that you are going to pay. But before the unit and the charges.
Isn't this for metered, for prepaid?
For prepaid, yes.
Yes.
Smart meter, because the country is moving to these so-called smart meters. I think somebody has got a very huge tender on this moving to smart meters, because Swan is doing that.
It's big business.
It's huge, and that's where politics come in.
I mean, meter migration in a country of just 2 million people, for instance, is a billion rand exercise. Billion.
Yeah. Now we are talking of a country of 60 plus a million people, which makes it an average of about 38 million households.
Yeah.
I'm using figures from housing, about 38 million. Now, if you want to take all those households and put them in to convert them to from away from conventional to prepaid smart meters, somebody's making a kill there.
Yeah.
Somebody's making billions out of that. But guess what the government has done? Or City Power is the first one. They have shifted the cost. It reminds me the Gauteng e-tolls to the consumer without consultation. Consumers were not consulted. They were not involved. And the government has gone wrong. Somebody, and I'm not instigating people. I'm just saying to the people, be aware of what is going on. And you will see a lot of legal suits against City Power. So the people who are having their electricity from City Power from Monday, the 1st of July, they are being billed 200 rands. Before you consume, before you buy electricity.
Just for being plugged into the
just
system.
Just for being plugged in, you are going to pay 200 rands for that smart meter. And that's where the people of Soweto were saying, we didn't ask for
this. Is it 200 a month?
It's 200 rands every month. It's
okay, so first
2,400 rands per annum.
So firstly, you convinced me that I need this thing.
Yes.
Now that I have the thing.
Yeah.
Despite how much I protested and I kicked and screamed. Not that the thing is here.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me, by the way, you must not pay 200 bucks. Your average family with a prepaid meter can't even afford 200 rand of electricity.
And that is my concern, that when you look at an average family in a township, and I'll use my mother again as an example. If my mother has bought electricity for 200 rand with a pensioner's levy and all those things, it does last year well for a month. Now, if she is on the grid of City Power, thanks God she's not in Johannesburg, she will have to pay the 200 rand. So, although pensioners are excluded, that's why they said in this. But an average unemployed young South African who lives in a so-called RDP or free housing, now they must now look for the 200 rands towards that. It's a whole lot of money for people. They're already electricity is expensive. And this does not include the cost of electricity price going up, rising at the moment. But again, Fresh, you see, this is where politics comes in. There was no public consultation. The local government, councillors and mayors and all that, they didn't go and talk to people. They didn't even try to stand up. And let me tell you, I looked at that document from City of Joburg with City Power. All political parties that are supposed to be pro-black, pro-left, they signed it. The EFF, the ANC, you know, every Inkatha Freedom Party in Joburg, they signed that thing for the tariff increase and the city power 200 rands. People may say, what is Fresh and Boots I'm talking about? What is 200 rands? But we are not talking about ourselves. I live in Tshwane. Anyway, I'm 4 months without electricity in my house, so I'm not affected. But this is very wrong for political office bearers to go to ask for votes for people. And people are going to punish them. Come local government elections, because electricity is coming. And when, look at the strategy, when do they implement it? 1st of July, the mid of winter, when people need electricity.
After more. Elections.
And after the cabinet has been announced, then they start implementing this whole thing. I mean, I've got property in Joburg, and I saw an email popping in to say, there's a water increase and there's electricity, you know, meter increase and all that. I'm like, gosh, what is not increasing? But again, this is where the government is not taking care of the needs of the basic needs of the people. And these are some of the things that give doomsayers and platform to say, we told you, they don't care. They just want to be in positions. Because local government election also broke down the metros whereby all political parties are represented to show that the people were not happy with the ANC where it was governing or ruling. And now those who are in co-governing with the ANC, look what they are doing to the people. And again, that's the selfishness of politicians not caring about the residents or the citizens. And these are some of the challenges we are faced with. I just hope that whatever is going to happen in the national government will filter to province and filter to local government. Or else we are going to be a country that is worried about the markets and the rent. And, you know, talking about that, did you see how I think it's Fitch or Moody's. If you want to see how this country is fragmented and people are trying to say we are united, you know, united South Africa. Did you see how they rated the city of Cape Town, not the Western Cape? The city of Cape Town above the country in ratings to say people can invest there. It's well governed. I don't know if these Moody's and Fitch's, do they know that Gooks and Langa and what are part of the city of Cape Town? Do they count them in? It also brings in what the EFF has said during the past week. EFF has approached parliament to say they must stop with this hybrid parliamentary sittings. They must bring back, people must sit physically. We don't have parliament. It's under reconstruction.
Ah, yes.
And some people were saying the EFF is doing that in order to start its protest and show. I said, no, they don't realize. EFF is actually want to take parliament to the people, because they also gave solutions, because the government position is it's expensive to can have this parliamentary sitting in hotels and expensive places and rented halls. But the EFF gave the solution. They didn't just complain. And I really thumbs up to them. They are saying, no, you don't have to go to the Hilton Hotel, the Hilton and all that. Let us take this to the parliament, to the community hall in Gugulethu.
Yes.
Let us use the community hall. Let all these 400 MPs go and sit there and we have our meeting there. Let's go to the people, because it's the parliament of the people. Let's take it to government offices or halls that are cheap in the township. You can see what they are doing. They are trying to expose them. They are trying to go and say, you do not know, because you are sitting at a 5-star hotel boardroom. You do not know what our people are going through in the townships. And thumbs up for the EFF to do that. I just wish that parliament accept that proposal. I was telling you about Johannesburg. You know, I wanted to pay electricity for city of Joburg this week. And I go online, since I have a bank account these days. And then I look on the, what do you call, predetermined public. And I type COJ, it's not there. I write city of Joburg, because their statement, it's written city of Joburg. It's not there. Then I wrote to a lot of people in groups to ask, guys, Kante, how do I pay this thing? And somebody calling me a check and my wife, he said, bro, please type city of Johannesburg. There's no city of Joburg. I'm like, what? Do we still call Joburg city of Johannesburg? And I was surprised that the city is calling itself, even an official document, city of Joburg, while on everything else, it's city of Johannesburg. And Fresh, after 1886, 2024, we still call this place Johannesburg. I'm so embarrassed.
I'm glad I don't live in this city. Johannesburg, you know, it was 1886 when that man discovered gold and this city was named under Johannesburg. Can't, please, guys, we are changing streets, the Winnie Mandela Street. Johannesburg, I don't even know who's Johannesburg, where it came. I assume he's a settler that came from Dutch, you know, as well. But no, Joburg people, aye.
Are you saying Johannesburg is overdue for a name change?
Fresh. 30 years of democracy. You still call this place Johannesburg. When they were changing the airport, you remember, we moved from Jan Smuts International Airport. Mm. Then we moved to Johannesburg International Airport. Then they said, we moved to what? O.R. Tambo.
O.R. Tambo, yes.
You understand? When they were doing all that, where did they leave the city to still be called Johannesburg? I mean, really, who's Johannes?
What would you propose we...
I'm Msawawa. Let's call it Msawawa. You know, when we...
Oh, Josie Msawawa.
Yeah, Josie Msawawa.
Josie Maboneng.
Josie, it's okay. And people will still say, but this Josie still came from Johannesburg.
Rather, basically.
Rather, Josie Msawawa or Joe Beck. Joe is Johannes, but it's okay. But remove the Johannes out of this thing. Call it anything but not Johannesburg.
Okay, noted.
You must start a petition. You are a Joburg resident. You see, I live in Tshwane.
Also because I fell in love with the name and the city back in 1980.
Oh, okay.
So a name change for me would be a bit painful.
Nah, change. You always talk about change. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Look what they did strategically in Tshwane. Mm. Joburg is the biggest commercial metro city in Africa. Tshwane is the biggest metro by size.
Sure.
But they became smart. In order to try and satisfy everybody, they kept the city center is still called Pretoria, yes. Named after Pretoria's whoever. Mm. But the metro is Tshwane.
Sure.
And you know, when I arrived in Tshwane, in 1993, I had colleagues and friends who used to say, welcome to Tshwane, are Tshwane.
Sure.
You understand? You know, for people who don't know Nguni or English or African speakers, Tshwane means the same. Mm. So there's a phrase in Tshwane that says, Kimo Tshwane, Tlare Tshwane, this is Tshwane, let's be the same or look the same. Mm. And you see, they were very creative at that time. Can the people of Joburg be creative? I'm sitting in Joburg AMPD studio, said
I think you must leave us alone.
It's okay.
Don't you live in former Verwoerdsberg?
Yeah, well, at least it's former Verwoerdsberg. But, you know, Centurion, that's where the future... And by the way, Centurion nearly became I hope the 8th administration will move parliament into one city. Mm. You know, at some stage, Centurion was on the contesting to move parliament into that. I had wished it could have happened. Imagine all those MPs living around me. I would have bought a few properties around and became a capitalist.
Exactly.
And rent them to public service. Mm. Because again, we are sitting with a public service that is renting. Mm. That's a topic I want us to discuss in future. Why government is renting offices, not building and owning them. Mm. They are renting. They are even leaving old
government. Because if we are renting, then Comrade Butsang can make a decent buck there with the rental and then maybe can donate, no?
Yeah, but fresh, you see, like I said, I'm going to be on the neck of the DA and this opposition parties or members of the GNU to say you were talking about the bloated government. Now it's bigger. The circle has become more bigger. Mm. Cyril Ramaphosa said these ones are making noise. I'm going to put some, what do you call that thing that makes the cake or fat cakes to become fat?
What, yeast?
Yeast or raisin, whatever.
Yeah.
To make it bigger, then they will shut up. And that's what he did. Mm. The cabinet is bloated. No, I'll make it even bigger to keep my 18 seats and then they can share the others.
So from 8 to blow to 8 to bloat.
Yeah. Exactly. And government is renting. Government is renting offices, guys.
Mm.
Even where they have land and they can build, they are renting. And you are right. And people to eat government monies.
And the rental amounts that are being paid are enough to actually just build your own precinct.
You know, I don't want, and I must put a disclaimer, I'm saying this in my private capacity, yeah. I don't want to talk about my employer or work or what.
Mm.
But one of the things that I did when I was at Derco, and I was working with Mkusele Aplani, he was the project manager. The building of Derco that you see now, O.R. Tambo building, you know, Derco had 8 offices around Tshwane. We're sitting at 8 offices, scattered all over Pretoria.
Mm.
until somebody came and said, but let's sit in one, because we are diplomats, we need. And I was lucky to have formed part of Ikuseli Aplani's project team. Mm. That saw the. I never sat in that building because I was fired before, before we moved in. But that was a good decision. Mm. I came with my current employer with a proposal years back when I realized that we make so much money and we give the state money back. Mm. A lot, millions. We give the state an average of 107 million per annum. And I'm like, why don't we take this money and build an office? Then we stop paying 10 million rents per annum. Mm. We build our own office. Mm. Yes, yes. My head was nearly cut off. And I'm like, okay. But I was thinking like an administrator. Was thinking for the public and for saving instead of renting. But yeah, that's one topic I want to one day sit and unbundle all government departments that are renting, how much rent they pay. And they want to come with excuses like, no, maintenance of the building and what. No, when you rent your property out, you factor the cost of maintenance into the rental. Mm. They must not think they are not maintaining. It's factored into the rent. I don't know how do they think. Why don't we have our own buildings? We own them. Look at the DTI. Mm. They own that building. They renovated it, blew it. Very good decision. Why others are not doing the same? Mm. Then we can stop wasting government resources.
Absolutely. Could we leave the country just for a second?
Yes, brother man.
Why is Kenya still in the news? Because, I mean, obviously President Ruto realized that maybe I'm not signing this thing because the natives are restless.
Yeah.
But the natives continue to be restless.
Fresh, when we spoke about it last week, one of your questions that I avoided and somebody called me after. And he called me, you know, one guy who is from the EFF watches, he said, you know, Fresh asked you that question, you avoided it. Mm. And you ask again, you strategically, but I did not want to, when you ask if it will spread. Mm. But let me tell you, what President Ruto doesn't realize is that this law, tax law, that he conceded and not signed it and removed it, the bill from parliament, it was just a drop in an already full cup. The natives in Kenya, the great-grandchildren of the Mau Maus were already, pardon my French, heartful with the Ruto government. There were many things. It was a build-up. Mm. And that's why the protests are continuing. It was the Kenyan youth saying, this is the last straw now. Sure. There are many other things that we are not happy about. Mm. The suppression of the voices. They thought their country, I saw one youth leader addressing the court, and he said, we thought our country is moving away from being controlled by the colonial masters, by the Ruto administration. This guy moves from the former colonizers, which is Britain, to go and into bed and kiss and dance with the imperialists, which is America, when we've got BRICS.
And even offer police to go all the way to Haiti.
Yes.
All the way to Haiti.
Well, he is behaving like a policeman. You can see how Ruto is now starting to think and conduct and behave like an American. You understand? Because that's what Americans do. Mm. They send their law enforcers. Your country is struggling financially, but you deploy your yes, Haiti is it's an extension of Africa.
It's our brothers.
Those are our brothers. But charity starts at home. Mm. You must start doing things at home. And that's why the riots are continuing. They're actually now are calling for him to resign. Mm. And I remember I told you last week that Raila will stand up. Is it Raila? Odinga stand up. Yes. He's up now. Mm. He's up and saying, I told you. And they're asking...
Pagama Odinga.
Yeah, Pagama Odinga. But I don't know if Odinga will come.
Or like your father, stand up twice. Odinga, Odinga.
So the Kenyan youth are not backing off. Mm. I think last week I said...
But to what end though?
Look, they want the guy to resign or the government to reverse some of the other decisions that they were taking, like you have just mentioned, the deployment of the police to
Haiti.
To Haiti. Mm. And other police, but they are calling for him to resign to say the fact that you had to kill people to defend your position, President Ruto. The fact that we had to protest, the fact that you considered these policies, the fact that you went and you flew to America spending millions of shillings.
The fact that you are using live, your jackboot troops,
yes,
were using live ammo.
Live ammo. 30 by Wednesday this week, 34 people had died in Kenya, and some are children. So they are saying the fact that we had arrived at that stage, you are not fit for the office. And that's why they are calling to say, no, step off.
Do you think he will?
Look, after looking at him last week, saying, I concede. I think he's a reasonable man.
Because sometimes when you concede, you give people even more karach to think, oh, okay.
Okay, we can
push for more.
Yes. Look, president's resign. No, I think it's still early. I think we are on the early stages. I don't think he will resign.
I'm going to ask you again. Do you think youth in other parts of Africa are going to say, oh, okay, they are killing them, but they are still going back for more to say, no, this is a matter of principle. You can kill us, you can shoot us, you can have your boots on our necks, but we will not retreat.
My wish is let it not happen.
Hold on. Do you think youth in Zim are saying, actually, maybe let's be fearless?
Look, remember, the ZANU in Zim has been ruling with an iron fist. Even, remember Mnangagwa, you know, history, if you know the history of Zim. Will there, it may happen. Let me say, it may happen. Look, it won't spread like the Arab uprising.
Okay.
It may not be that way, but youth may, in South Africa, definitely. In this country, definitely it's going to happen. I can tell you, for various reasons, South African youth, if this administration in the next 1 year do not do something, a paradigm shift of the youth well-being, they will rise. They must be happy to have people like Gaten McKenzie. The youth will start seeing benefits to people from. But the youth in Zim, most probably, in South Africa, most definitely, we are going to see an uprising. Fortunately, in South Africa, I wish we won't lose our life ammunition like they did. In Zim, they will use life ammunition. A lot will be jail thrown in, and Zimbabwe doesn't care. But again, you need a guided revolution. Once people rebel and there's no guidance, there's no leadership.
There's no end goal.
Yes. In Kenya, it's a guided revolution. And there are reasons that push them to do that. They didn't just copy. So if our youth are just going to copy and say Kenyan youth are doing it, we saw how our youth can bring their country to stand still when it was a guided Fees Must Fall campaign. It was a guided campaign, and it worked for them. Although they didn't achieve everything they had intended to, some were bribed, some were marginalized, but at least it was a peaceful protest.
Absolutely.
You know, there were no killings and things like that. So, and again, the EFF has issued a statement, you know, unofficially. So Julius has said it's time for the streets. For me, I read deep into that statement. For Julius to say, now they've formed their own government, it's fine. It's time for the people to go to the streets. And people are saying he's being angry, he's bitter because he's left out in the cold and all that. But if what his supporters want, he will do it. And I think doing it now, the EFF will be seen as, you know, frustrated and angry and bitter. Doing it now.
True.
Let the government run, assess them, give them 100 days to see if they will do what they said they will do. If they don't, trust me, we'll see our streets not only red, they'll also be green. With controversies, and generally people and youth like students who are frustrated with NEFSAS, who are frustrated with unemployment. And that is where the challenge of the country is.
I think let's leave it at that.
Thanks, my brother.
I think we've had a decent discussion.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it to you to comment, to share, to agree, to disagree. But yeah, your comments, the more the merrier. Just keep them coming. Your perspectives are also very, very welcome. We're not here to preach. We're here to just plant seeds in the hope that you can water them and take them to your different corners of the world and have these discussions.
Thanks, Brother Fresh. Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Where do we find you on social media, sir?
Botsangm@gmail.com, and also I am on 082-485-9100, and it's at Botsangm on social media handles. And thanks to you, brother man. Thanks to the show. I'm getting very nice calls to go and address very nice platforms, but we'll talk about that in future. Very nice. nice invitations that are coming by to say, no, we want you to come and talk to students and to youth regarding these issues. And it's all because of this platform and you.
And your mind.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's still functional. It gets tired. Hey, and by the way, you know, sometimes I want to call you and say, hey, Fresh, I'm tired. I'm not coming. Yeah. Man. I don't know what to talk about. And when I think about how these people will scream,
yeah,
I just get out of bed to come to the studio.
Yeah, you might just root to us if you don't show up for work. So please don't do that.
No, it don't happen, brother. Me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Botsang Mudimame Muilwa. This has been another edition of Polytrix coming to you from Amped Studios, downtown Johannesburg. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. You can email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out to Pezulu Works for all of the cinematography. Trevor, your crew, we see you, appreciate you. Otis the Flow Fraser for all of our imaging, and to our executive producer, Keletso Modisa King. Till next week, have an incredibly fresh Polytrix week, in spite of yourselves.